Welcome to the Ascent Church Podcast. We hope this message from Pastor Jay Armalee inspires you to pursue God, equip people, and release hope.
I want to share today about a few things that came across. We're going to do communion in a bit. We're not going to do it just yet. We'll do it towards the end. Everybody's going to remind me. I want to share a few things that kind of came across and really... And I can't tell you whether Steve said something about it or I just read the scripture and it hit me, but I'm going to share some moments from last week, and I'm going to talk about lawn care today. Caleb, you want to come up and share? No? No, didn't think so. We hadn't prepped. It's funny, Steve and I, we were talking, and he looked at my grass, and he said, man, your grass looks really great. So we ended up having a conversation about lawn care. And I was sharing about some tools that Caleb got. And, you know, how many know that your lawn does not naturally just normally look good, right? How many have ever planted, you get seed from the store, it says grass seed, and you plant it and you get grass seed and weeds? Anybody else have that problem? It's notorious. It's funny, there are no weeds as far as they know in that grass seed, but you can still have weeds when you plant. And I've also watched, I don't know how many years ago it was that Parks and Rec or Windsor, whatever, they went on strike. Do you guys remember this? And they didn't cut the grass for weeks. You know, how many noticed that the grass grew and didn't look good, right? It looked awful. I don't even know how they ever cut it because some of the grass was like up to here. So I want to talk to you. Jesus was notorious for sharing messages and the chosen. I talk a lot about the chosen. I just love it. I love how, you know, we just think he got up there and he shared. The chosen takes a bit of liberty and they show him preparing the Sermon on the Mount. How many watch that? And there, he'd be like, okay, how am I going to say this? And one of the things that Jesus was notorious for doing, he'd be standing by something like, in that culture, a vineyard. And he would try to share the kingdom through an analogy, right? So he'd say, my father is the vine dresser. And like he'd begin to use whatever he could see. So today I'm going to use grass, okay? We know that grass does not grow well without some sort of maintenance. And so Steve and I got talking about this a little bit. And I really feel, and he feels too, the season that we're in, we are in, and I think we're always in it, but we're in a bit of a maintenance season. It's good to be in a maintenance season. First thing Caleb does in the spring, he purchased this roller. The thing's like a tank. It's pretty fun to drive, but how many know that in the winter, frost begins to push things up? And you go to cut for the first time, you're like, you're all over the place. Well, this roller comes along and it begins to flatten some of the hard, or flatten some of the areas that have lifted up. Now, some things need to come out. You know, when you have a frost, there are rocks that begin to come out. I'm amazed at a field. Have you ever seen a field? I used to be a part of a team that would go to the baseball diamonds, and every year we'd be picking rocks out of a field. I'm like, who put the rocks there? Every year, we'd have to go and pick them all back out and hide them so nobody would throw them back in there. But that's not what's happening, is these rocks are coming up from the frost, and you got to get rid of them. So he makes high places that are maybe too high, he flattens them. Next step that he does, because the ground is often hard after winter, he uses an aerator and he pokes holes. Anybody ever aerate your grass? Aeration allows water to go into your grass, into your garden. Sorry, into your grass. You shouldn't use it on your garden. That's not good. And it allows the rain to penetrate. Have you ever gone through a hard season where your heart gets hard? And we were talking, you know, Bruce, that was a hard season for you. I'm really grateful for how you shared. I think that was just a Holy Ghost time, because there's so many things that I thought, oh, you're hitting home the truth that we don't always understand the heart. Harden our heart. He didn't understand what he was going through. And that could, if we're not careful, harden our hearts and keep the rain from going in. And so if you have a hard grass, I've had hard grass where it dies really quick. But when you begin to poke holes back into it and it allows that nourishment of the water to go back in, it's amazing what it begins to do. So we've rolled it, we've aerated it. Here's an interesting thing. This year, I've never used one. I've used smaller versions, but you got a professional dethatcher. Anybody ever use a professional dethatcher? Okay, this is an amazing thing. There's a point to all this. My grass looked pretty good. I wouldn't have thought there was much brown in my grass. We get this, you know, I'm excited to use it. I get this dethatcher and we go through it and we did our neighbor's grass, which is even more remarkable. We could not, like we stood, right, Caleb, in awe of the pile. We filled the whole trailer from a yard that looked green and this dethatcher goes up and it gets things that you don't even know are there. And it begins to, it's got these little things on it. And my green grass looked even greener at the end of it because it got all this junk up out of it. Thatch is what it's called. And what thatch is something that rests in the bottom of your grass that you often can't see. And it's interesting. You wouldn't think it's a big deal. But did you know that thatch keeps your fertilizer from going into the ground? I didn't know this. He had a gentleman that he bought the equipment from. He was kind of getting a schooling while he was doing it. And this gentleman said, most fertilizer, you waste about 60% of it because it never gets into the ground. It sits on that thatch. And I thought, man, it's often like us in our life, isn't it? If we're in a season where God wants to literally begin to work on our hearts and dethatch us, I think, and I'm going to show you in a minute, there are some things that rest in our life that keep the fertilizer of the Lord from getting in. One of the things that different groups I know and Thrive, I've talked about it many times. A lot of times we can have a misunderstanding of the gospel because we're pulling in old covenant into a new covenant and misreading scriptures. And that to me is a thatch. It's a layer where God wants to minister to us, but this layer of old understanding keeps God from being able to penetrate. And I think right now we've been in a season where he's taking that dethatcher, that machine, and he's getting some stuff that we don't even know is sitting there. And here's the thing. When you dethatch, if I were grass, I would probably say, ouch. Because it is a machine that is digging things up. I'm sure if grass had feelings, it wouldn't be like, this is awesome. There are moments when you go through dethatching in our life and it's like, ow. Like, this is reshaping my thoughts. It's hard to even comprehend. But here's the most amazing thing. When you dethatch and then you fertilize, because that's the next step, and it actually pierces in, the growth that happens is incredible. I say all that because I've looked at my grass this year. I'm like, I've never had grass like this. You know, when you go to a golf course and you see that grass, you're like, how do they do that? I want grass like that in my yard. Well, don't we all want to be like that? You're like, not really? Because then I got to cut it more often? Hypothetically, work with me here. I want my life to look so inviting that people want to know Christ. So I want you to think with that analogy. I want to turn to a scripture that I heard Steve say. And I don't know what he said, but I took it in such a different way, and we're going to jump into all that because the goal is that we would be so green and amazing that people would want to come feed off of us. But how many are quite aware that the church does not always look like that green pasture? Most people outside of the church often look at the church and they go, why would I want to join you, or why should I join you? And I believe in this hour, the Lord is using things like we talked about, the analogy, to dig things up so he can have a church that people want to not just be a part of, they want to lean into. Like Ryan, this young man doesn't go to church, but I'll tell you, he leaned into what was happening that day at the men's day. He was grateful for men to come around and pray. How is he walking with God? Why is he strong in the Lord? He's on a beginning journey. But I'll tell you, that moment was like Jesus going, hey, come, follow me. I'm convinced the church has learned these ways that I don't even know where they came from, because often Jesus would be like, hey, come follow me. I don't understand a thing about it. I know. Come follow me. And on this journey, you're going to be transformed. Amen. Turn to John 1. Did I give you that already? John 1, verse 14. While you're turning there, I'm sure most people, you've been here, you've gone to church, read your Bible, you understand. Jesus came into the garden. He walked with man. Man messed up. People could say, wow, it's all Eve's fault. Listen, if the first two did it, how many know it would have been four people later that would have done it if it wasn't the first two? It would have been you and I if it got to us. Just humanity. He knew what was going to happen. But Jesus walked. God walked in the cool of the day, and they got to eat from the tree of life. When they made this mistake, they were cast out of the garden, and they were separated from the presence of God. But we do know that God began to visit people. One of the people that he visited was Abraham. And he said, Abraham, I'm going to become your God, and I'm going to walk with you. And he walked with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and he began to teach them, which when you think about it, can you imagine being introduced to a God that you have no clue about? Because other nations had God at that point, gods at that point. But he says, no, I'm the one true God. And then we get to Moses. We fast forward, and Moses becomes a deliverer. And what I want to share about Moses is a scripture. You don't have to turn there. But Moses, in the book of Exodus, it says, let them make me a sanctuary that I may dwell among them. Which is such a powerful verse, because for the first time, he's like, listen, I'm coming back and I'm going to dwell among you, but it's going to be in a tabernacle. And you can't get anywhere near me, but my presence is finally back on earth in a tabernacle. You following me? All right. And that tabernacle went, and then it became a temple that nobody could go into except for the high priest, but God was back on land. Now, John 1. Verse 14, and it says, and the word, who's the word? Jesus. If you follow it, Jesus is the word. And the word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. So I want to highlight some words here. It says, and the word became flesh. That word flesh means flesh. The word of God, Jesus, became real, human flesh. But then look at the word it uses. And he, what? Dwelt among us. I know this, why does this matter? God came and dwelt in a tabernacle. Jesus came and dwelt among us. This is really important. So they knew about God, but they couldn't see him. He was in a tabernacle. Jesus comes, and all of a sudden, he actually walks with us and uses the same word. It's actually the word tabernacle. It doesn't make sense in our language. He tabernacled among us, so they use the word dwelt among us. He dwelt among us. That word became flesh, and he dwelt among us. So Steve's preaching. He uses that scripture. Maybe he even said something about us, but all of a sudden, I saw that scripture different. Because that thing that he wants is the exact same thing that he wants from us. He wants the word to become flesh in us. And all of us at some point have lived in church where the word became knowledge, the word became doctrine, the word became theory. But how many know that the word doesn't always become flesh? Yeah, you following? Let me give you an example. There are three different things. There is a public testimony, a private testimony, and then there are core convictions. So a public testimony is when somebody gets up and goes, you know, we hear it all the time with elections and all that. This is the greatest nation in the world. This is the best election. And they'll say things that I'm not really sure that you can back that up. But they're just saying it because it sounds really good. How many of us have ever said a public confession that you're like, that sounds really good. Okay, let me bring it home. Let me bring it home for Bruce. Man, I went fishing the other day. I caught a fish, it was this big. And then we look at the picture, we're like, Bruce, your arms, I don't know, they've gotten longer or something because that fish is more like this big. And then you see it in your purse and that fish is like this big. Now, Bruce wouldn't do that. I'm just joking around. But how many know that that is often the thing? We often over-exaggerate. We have a truth, but we really stretch that truth. That's a public confession. A private confession is somebody that says, and I'll give you this example because it's biblical and it's a great example. Do you remember Peter? Remember the guy Peter? He says, I will never deny you. I will go to death if I have to for you. What does Jesus say? Oh, yeah, that's great. But, you know, by the end of the night, rooster will crow three times and you will deny me. Never! His private confession was greater than a public confession, but his private confession still had some work to do. Because in the end, when push and that trial came to shove, he ended up denying the Lord. The Lord knew it, though. That's the beautiful thing about the Lord. He's not like, Peter, I can't believe you. He's like, Peter, I knew. I knew you were going to be tested and sifted. I knew, but I was praying for you that you would make it through. Okay, just stop. Come on. That's an amazing king that we have. Because he'd be like, oh, you're going to go through things in life, but I'm praying for you that you're going to make it through. See, the thatch that we have in our life is often, oh, I'm going to make a mistake, and he's going to condemn me. Because we're taught that in religion. And he's like, who told you that? Let's just get that junk up out of there because that's gonna keep the nourishment from going in and making your grass really green. Because that's junk. Totally. I wanna give you, hopefully, a guidepost when you're reading scripture. When you read from Matthew across, I'm gonna show you an example. I want you to think about it. When you interpret it in your brain, actually interpret it through the words and the life and the action of Jesus. And if you find when you read the red letters and you're trying to interpret something and you're like, that doesn't seem to line up, then you got to go back and ask the Lord, why? Because I hit that today. I'm like, Lord, you got to explain this to me because this does not seem new covenant. And I'll tell you what, Claude will tell you too, my mama, when you ask, he will begin to show you. Because there are so many things that we interpret. Listen, guys, we all have a mind map that we interpret things through. You know that, right? That's why Peter, they do a great job in The Chosen. I should get reimbursements for promoting The Chosen. You know, Peter is this, like, brute. He's like, I'll take anybody down. No way that I would ever deny. That's his mind map. This is who he thinks he is. But in the end, that public that became private didn't quite go into a core conviction yet. Because you got public confession, you got private confession, then you have a core conviction. And how many know later on when the Holy Spirit fell on Peter, it hit his core conviction. And not only did he go to death, he said, no, I can't, you can't hang me the same way. This is history that says, Peter said, no, you can hang me on a cross, but hang me upside down because I'm not worthy to hang like my Savior. Like, that's a core conviction at that point. All right, you're going to hang me. Let's do it. But don't hang me the same way because that's not, I can't. So it went from something public to private to core conviction. So what I'm reading here, it says, and the word became flesh and dwelt among us. Listen, Jesus came and spoke words, and he wants the words that he spoke and the Spirit of God to make it become flesh within us. And he wants to make it that we go from public confession, I love the Lord, to private, oh, I'm in a tough circumstance, I'm not sure what I should do, to flesh where it's a core conviction. Maybe another way, that's looking at it through the eyes of sin maybe or something. What I look at it as, I can publicly preach and say, man, I love all people. I love people. I've said that. I really do. I genuinely love people. And then privately, I'm with somebody that's difficult, right? And I'm like, I love people, just don't really love you right now. No, I don't want to say it that way. I love people. I just don't want to be around you right now. And then you go downtown and you walk where the homeless are. I love people. I just don't want to be around the smell. I don't want to be around people that... Now, again, publicly I'll say, I don't think I say this. I would never maybe say, I don't want to be around losers. But how many know that we've all thought things quickly? Maybe not you. Maybe you're holier than I am, but I have. And I went. I've shared. I've thought racist thoughts. I'm like, where did that come from? Because sometimes the Lord's trying to teach me, oh yeah, it's public, or maybe it's become private, but it's not a core thing yet. And I want to dig that deep. So I go back to this scripture. We always think of it as Jesus became flesh, and that's what that means, and it does. But he's also now saying, let's reverse it. I want the word that I spoke to become flesh inside of you. Not knowledge, flesh. Turn with me. Maybe I'll challenge you a little more. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians 3:16 and 17. Now, I want to tell you up front, if you struggle with this, that's awesome. Struggle. Pray. Don't just take my word for it. So I'm going to read a scripture that I came across today because the first part is exactly what I want to share. The second part, I'm like, what? What is going on with this scripture? 1 Corinthians 3:16 says, do you not know that you are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God, look at that, there's the word again, what? Dwells in you. So before I go on, let's stop. God comes in the Old Testament because he's working his way back. And he comes and he dwells in a tabernacle and a temple that nobody can see or nobody can be in. Jesus comes and dwells, tabernacles among us in the flesh. And then this says, do you not know that you are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you, tabernacles in you? What? Whoa. God's in the tabernacle. Jesus is walking around. What? He's inside of us now and he dwells within us. You're like, oh, he doesn't dwell within me. Yeah, he does. If you've received Jesus as your Lord and Savior and you've invited him in and if you've never said, Holy Spirit, come in, come and dwell with me. And people are always like, I'm waiting for the manifestation. That's great. But Jesus says, if you ask for a rock, if you ask for bread, would I not give you bread? If you ask for the Holy Spirit, he's going to dwell within you. And he wants to start to make things make sense and become flesh in your life. You following me? Because a lot of people walk around and when you hear them, you're like, oh, you know the scriptures. I know people that know the scriptures so well. And then that last part that we didn't finish with, it says he became grace and truth. Full of grace and truth. Have you ever listened to somebody and you're like, man, you can tell me the scriptures. You have them memorized. Where is your grace and truth? Anybody else have ever met somebody like that? That's what Jesus called the Pharisees and the Sadducees. They knew everything about the coming Messiah, and he was standing right in front of them, and they could not see him. You ever thought about that? They knew the scriptures. They knew the scriptures to the point where they had a mind map that said, we talk about this often, the Messiah is coming to take back the Jewish nation. He's going to come and rule and reign. See, they were filtering everything, that thatch, filtering everything, and they could not see that Jesus, the Messiah, showed up, and they totally missed it. And I would say because the word was a bunch of knowledge, and it didn't become flesh in their hearts. So here, let me finish. This is the scripture that I think, whoa, what's going on here? It says, if anyone defiles the temple of God, God will destroy him, for the temple of God is holy. When I read something like that, it throws me back into an old covenant. Doesn't it anybody else? And that's where you have to stop and go, okay, what is going on here? Because Jesus does not mix covenants. He doesn't go, listen, I love you and I will die for you. And then he says, listen, if you defile it, I'm going to destroy you. That's a mixed covenant. Interesting. There's something else going on here. Let me read it. So this is the New King James I just read. One more time, I'll read it. If anyone defiles the temple of God, God will destroy him. For the temple of God is holy. And he says, which temple are you? Interesting comment. I'm saving that for another day because I got to pray about that. But it's interesting. Hey, which temple are you? The NIV says it this way. It says, don't you know that you yourselves are God's temple and that God's spirit dwells in your midst? If anyone destroys God's temple, God will destroy that person, for God's temple is sacred and you together are that temple. Interesting. And you together are that temple. And you together are that temple. I want you to stop for a second and realize that Jesus clearly, or God clearly says, the Spirit of God dwells in you and you are the temple. But this scripture, and I began to research it, it actually talks about us together are also the temple, the church. When we come together, people, when people don't regularly go to church, we all miss church. We all go on vacation. Different things happen, and that's normal, and that's part of life. But when you walk away from church, I believe it's the same as walking away from your grass and hoping it looks like a golf course, and you wonder why all these weeds start coming up. It's the same thing to me. You know how many of you have convicted me? You wouldn't know that. I hope I've convicted you. Bruce, you were preaching the other day. Sharon, you convicted me. Because I realized in that moment there are things that you've gone through that I thought, oh, you know what? That's, I can publicly confess that, but you have it as a core value. That convicted me in a good way. Actually, let me say it. Maybe conviction is a hard word for some people. It challenged me. I said, Lord, I want to have that. I don't really want to go through what he went through because he'll take us through different things, but what he had in that, I want to. That's a conviction. That's a challenge. I look at that and I go, man, that is a godly character. That's a core principle that I want in my life. Have you ever been challenged by somebody in here where you're like, oh, they're encouraging. I want to have that type of godly encouragement. Or their wisdom. Oh my gosh, that just pours out. I want to have wisdom like that. And a lot of times God's trying to go, listen, you got this. You publicly can say this because you've read the word and you know the word, but I want to get it deep within you. And church and being around the people, and this scripture is actually talking about the people being the temple. So we are the temple, and when we come together, it's like we build a bigger temple, and he wants to dwell here. So when we come and worship and you feel God's presence, that's exactly what he's talking about. Did he come today? Absolutely. Or two or more are gathered. And he wants to use each other to take things to go from a public thing to a private thing to a core thing in our life. And I hope by the time I die, there are things that are private. I certainly hope public things become private things at least. And I hope most of my private things become core things in my life. Now I have core things in my life that God's taught me that you don't have. And you have core things that I don't have. And that's why the body of Christ is beautiful. That's why when we get around each other, we can lift each other up. So back to this. The NLT says it this way, do you not realize that all of you together are the temple of God and the Spirit of God lives in you? God will destroy anyone who destroys this temple, for God's temple is holy and you are that temple. I don't have a perfect answer for you. What I'm trying to do is to teach you to look at scripture and go, how does that work in a new covenant? Two things I believe. First, this was the early church in its earliest form. I believe God was protecting that early church because it was going to go throughout the years. So I think he was strong in the early days because he needed to be. But here's an interesting thing. Whenever I don't understand a word, I go to see what it means. That is the only place in the New Testament that the word, I'm not going to say it, I don't understand Greek, it is the only place in the scripture that is actually translated destroy. It's only used once in that form. All the other times it's used corrupt, which to me can really change things, but when it corrupts, it's from the inside. And how many know that we can get weeds? There are, like, Creepin' Charlie. Right? Everybody's like, yeah, I know Creepin'. This one stinking weed can corrupt your entire yard, can it? My dad, bless his heart. Yeah, you know where I'm going, Sean. We had this job when we were growing up as kids. He thought, man, you guys get out there and part of your chore was to pick the Creepin' Charlie. That stuff never goes away. We tried to make it fun. We played games, tried to find the longest strand possible. You know, who got the longest strand that day? But I'm telling you, you could pick it on Saturday. You go on Wednesday, you find just as much as it seems. 2 weeks later, it's right back. I think it's very interesting that most of the time it's used corrupt. In Ephesians, let me give you an example in Ephesians. Hoping to give you an example out of Ephesians. I might not give you an example out of Ephesians since I can't find it. Holding tight. Thank you, Lord. Any of our scholars could look it up in here. It's out of Ephesians. It basically uses the word corrupt, and it has this idea that if you allow it, things will. It says, you are a new man. Do not let these former things corrupt you, is basically the scripture. Interesting. A lot of times we're like, I got saved. Why do I not look like a golf course? Right? I've seen it happen. I've seen somebody literally walk to the front as rough as can be. They get saved, they give their life to the Lord, they go outside and they swear, and somebody that has a lot of biblical knowledge without flesh comes against them and says, why are you using language like that? Because that's all they know and they got saved 5 minutes ago. Right? And what that person does, I like to keep it real. That person convicts them and walks over and goes, I can't believe that person. Gary, can you believe that person was swearing like that? Sean, can you believe that person? What are they doing? Gossiping. So they're coming against the person that has no clue while they're sinning because they know better. So when somebody gets saved, we expect them and want them to become this beautiful lawn. And that lawn has been planted with fresh seed. And it needs all the things that I talked about. First of all, it needs to be watered and nutrition and all that, and it's going to start to grow. And then there's going to be weeds that pop up and creep and Charlie, but they are a new lawn. And basically what the scripture is saying, get rid of the former things that corrupt because you're a new lawn. Pull that sucker out of there. Ephesians 4:29. See, I knew a scholar would find it. Let's turn to it for fun. Ephesians 4:29. I got to find Ephesians. All you with your nifty gadgets. Ephesians 4:29 says, let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. There's another one. 23, 22, that's it too. That you may put off concerning your former conduct the old man which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, that he may be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you may put on the new man which created according to God in the righteousness and holiness. I love scriptures like that because it brings us back to, you got saved, awesome. You have seeds planted. Now, what does it look like? You're going to do some work. Those words that you're going to read, we want them to become flesh. And so you're going to begin to, we're going to begin, because it's the Holy Spirit within us, begin to work together. But so often in the church, we want people to get saved and be a brand new fresh garden and everything's perfect. It don't look that way. Every one of us are still taking parts of our old man and getting them off. And you are putting on the new man, which, as I said at the beginning, is taking the words of God and letting them become flesh within us. So whatever you're going through, you could take a scripture and begin to go, Lord, I know I can publicly declare that. Privately, it's a little rough, and it's definitely not a core conviction. Can you begin to work on my heart? And you know what Jesus does? He grabs a dethatcher. He's like, I'm so thankful you asked me that. There are things that you got. You don't even realize you got thatch there. I'm going to get that stuff up. You got some bad theology. You got some pain you don't even know about. I'm going to start healing that pain. And he goes to work, and it's this beautiful thing. Aren't you thankful? Tenacity, really, eh? Claude just said the camel. Wait a minute, is that us as kids? You're supposed to have tenacity. He said the chemical to kill Creepin' Charlie is called tenacity.
So your analogy, tenacity.
Yeah, go ahead, share a little bit more. That's good. I like it.
No, so your analogy about, you know, how you get the weeds out, how you got to work the lawn, it takes tenacity to get those things out of your life. It just doesn't happen. You have to apply and apply and apply, and eventually it goes, but it takes tenacity to do it. Yeah.
So when I look at that scripture, just to wrap up that scripture, when it says, God will destroy anyone who destroys this temple, for God's temple is holy. Let's go back to the original. It says, I don't have the full version. God will destroy that person, for God's temple is sacred. All I know is that I can read a scripture like that. Because people will use a scripture like that and they'll go, see, that person has cancer. I told you, that's not God. We have watched some beautiful, holy, anointed people die of cancer. And we have seen some wicked, horrific people that smoke and do really other nasty things that I won't say because there's kids in the room. I've got to learn to not say things sometimes. But you can all imagine that live until they're 95. And you're like, Lord, what gives? Come on. Because we want to take a scripture like that and go, see, I used to hear, oh, if they do that, if they split the church, God's going to destroy them. You know, I've watched churches prosper that split. I don't get it all. I really don't. I also go back to that's not the way it ought to be. But in the process, as Bruce was sharing, there are days that kick you in the teeth and you go, Lord, I don't get it, but I'm going to worship you. And what he will do if we allow him to, he will take that and it will become flesh within us so we can love even better. So just to close up, and then we're going to take communion. What I really loved coming out of you, Bruce, just to affirm, because I thought that was beautiful. It takes a lot to get up and share what he did. Come on, men, let's be real. But what I see is that the Lord took something that maybe before it even happened was public, and maybe by the time it happened, it was private, but it is a core thing now. Because what I watched you do is you met somebody that was struggling and you said, hey, let's go for coffee. Let's go. You golf? It was funny. Oh, a golfer. But it was, let's go golfing together and let's just talk. Because something that was way out here has become way close to your heart and you will walk with that person. And that's what I desire for our church. That people may not see the grass that's green on the inside. Caleb's trying to take care of the outside. But my prayer is that as they walk through the doors, they see people at all different levels, but they go, man, there's some grass in here. They're never going to use this analogy, and if they do, I'll be really surprised. But you understand what I'm saying, that they look and they go, wow, there is some green, amazing, nutritious grass in here. These people have cultivated their life, and this is not just something that they talk about. It is life to them. It is real. They don't talk about love, they love. They don't talk about community, they do community. They don't talk about worship, they worship until the presence of the Lord comes. They don't look at the scriptures and say, well, that gossip is for somebody else. I can gossip all I want. No, they go, oh man, that's the word of God. That's a weed in my life. I got to get rid of that weed. You following me? We are all in transition. Wasn't that Steve's word? We are all being transformed, and it is a process. Amen. So as we're getting ready to take communion, I encourage you, what does all this mean and look like? I hope you got something out of it. But I want to encourage you, as you read scriptures, begin to ask the Lord to make it flesh in your life. It is so easy to read a scripture, and I don't know about you, maybe it's the older I get and the more busy I get. I could read a scripture and my mind checks out, especially if you've read it a lot. But the Lord wants to breathe his spirit on scripture, and then he wants to take it so it becomes flesh in your life, becomes real. So just begin to say, Lord, I don't get this scripture, but Lord, would you just breathe on it and make it real? That's what he did with this scripture about flesh. He wants to come and dwell within us and make these words become flesh to us. Different way of looking at it in a second. You know what I'm grateful for? I think there's going to come a day where we could joke and we won't be able to, as the bigger you get, right? We have freedom, kids are running around, but parents are able to listen. I've dreamt of a church that would be so real, but the people would be real. I've seen a lot of things in 51 years. I've seen a lot of things that look really spiritual, and then you get to know somebody, and it's not quite, it's more public than it is core. And I dream, because you guys are those people that we work together, we walk together, and we're real together. And when you go to pray with someone, you're not praying from a seat of such high authority. Now, I hope you have authority in the spirit. But what I'm saying is, you're not like, I'm better than you. I feel like when people pray in this room, people are praying from a, I'm walking with you. And I'm standing with you. And I have had victory in this area, so I'm so thankful that I can walk with you. And we can have coffee together, and I'll share my story, and maybe it'll help. Because that, to me, is real. I love it. I'm so excited. I was blown away. I went home, and I just, on Friday night, I'm like, God, men are sharing and being real. And every time we meet, it's a little deeper. God's going to do something with that. Amen. So, Lord, I thank you that your body was broken so we could be real. Lord, I thank you that you went to the cross so literally you could be flesh that we can eat again. You can make words become life to us. Lord, as we take this, whatever is needed in this room, Lord, I ask that you would be the strength that people need. You would be the hope that people need. And you would be the healing that people need. In Jesus' name, amen. Lord, I thank you for your blood that was shed. Lord, the price that you paid was incredible. So we could be whole and we can be new creations. Lord, I thank you that we are walking out of our past and we are walking out of the old man into the new. Lord, I pray that you continue to do your good work within us. In Jesus' name, amen. As I close, I love reading this scripture with this understanding of new covenant. And you'll get to scriptures where you can see how Jesus was trying to take old covenant mindset and he would try to change it to a new covenant understanding. I'll give you the example, then we're going to close. Was it the sons of thunder, James and John? James and John, Lord, do you want us to call down fire and burn up that? Doesn't that sound like that scripture? He will destroy. That's why I go back to the words of Jesus to go, Lord, help me understand from your heart. Because they're like, they're taking Old Testament. Lord, we're going to burn them up. Destroy them. And what does Jesus do? Hey, whoa, whoa. Now, you don't know what spirit you're of. I've just brought a new covenant. I'm going to teach you how to walk in it. And that's what we have to do. Amen. Why don't you stand? I'm going to go by faith here. Lord, we thank you for the sun outside. I don't know, but I'm hoping. Lord, we thank you that for this body of believers that are so amazing. Lord, for those that could not be here today, we ask that you would bless them. Lord, would you richly just, even if they listen online, that you would take the word and make it life to them. Lord, as we go, would you keep us? Would your face shine upon us? Lord, I pray you would bless us. But more importantly, would we be a blessing to those that we encounter today and all week? In Jesus' name.
Thanks for listening to our podcast. If you'd like to learn more about Ascent, you can visit our website at ascentchurch.ca.